Let us pray. Father, we do come to adore you today, Lord. We just thank you that we have this opportunity to be in your house and to lift the name of Jesus high above all names. We pray that we would feel your presence here today and that we would be blessed. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen. Obviously, I'm not Michael Bowers. However, Michael did get home yesterday, and he does have his new daughter with him, and she does have the chicken pox. But they managed to get home, and I fully suspect that if you'll look around sometime today, maybe on the way out of here, you'll see Michael. He said he'd be on, and the rest of them would be here shortly. So we praise God that everything worked for him to be able to get back to us safely. But I'm Ivan Christman, for those of you that are visitors, and I am the Director of Missions, and I have the awesome privilege today of telling you about our trip to Guinea-Bissau, West Africa, which we just returned from this past Monday night after 48 hours of hard travel to get back. But the Lord blessed throughout the trip, and I'm just thrilled to have the opportunity to tell you about it. First, before I get started, just a minute about what this is all about, especially for those of you that are perhaps visiting with us today. A couple years ago, the International Mission Board started a thrust to reach the over 1,600 unengaged people groups in West Africa. That's groups where there are no known Christians or just a few and no missionaries working with them. And their task was to match up churches in the United States with those unreached people groups. Michael and I talked about it, and eventually we were led to adopt the group called the Badiara. They have other names, Bajaranke, Pajadinka, Jad, but they're all the same people group. There are about 12,000 of them. They have their own specialized language. They have no written language. They're in Senegal, Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. We did a survey trip in April of this year and went to several villages, and we chose to start, felt led to start, in the villages of Buruntuma and Kankalifa in Guinea-Bissau. And there should be a... There it is. All right, that's what one of the villages looks like. And there are some other buildings that are rectangular, but the normal buildings are kind of round, and they have those thatched roofs on them. May the 4th, we went back to Buruntuma and Kankalifa, spent 5 nights in the villages, 3 in one village, 2 in the other. Temperatures were 120 degrees during the day. We found out May was the hottest month of the year. We didn't know that till then. But it was 120 degrees during the day, and it was probably down to 100 at night. So most of us took drugs to get sleep, but you young people now, they were legal things. But on November the 21st, 4 of us went back to spend an extended stay in the village. Now that's the team. I'm going to point them out to you with my little trick here. That's Deb Klein. Deb doesn't go to our church, but she's been with us to Honduras a couple of times, and it's amazing. She always knows when I'm going to call and ask her to go on a trip. And she felt the call before I even called her that it was about time to go again. And so we were glad to have Deb with us. I'm going to tell you the African names, too, that were given to us by the king in Buruntuma. That's where we stayed this time. Her name was Triputa Ja. And that's the name of the aunt of the chief of the village. Now, Shelly Figgett, right there, Shelly's name was Kulung Sande. And Kulung Sande was the grandmother of the king of the village. Now, Vic Owen, Vic's name is Yana Sane. And that's the name of the deceased father of the king. But it was an honor to be named after the father of the king. Now me, get this. I'm Luntung Kamara. Luntung Kamara. You know who that was? He's not living now, but he was a famous, big, strong Iron Man. So for the remainder of the trip, I became Iron Man. But in the time I have left, I'm going to tell you how the Lord truly blessed us during this 12 days and 11 nights in the village. So hold on. Bob didn't believe I can do 36 points in 30 minutes. I forgot to take out my timer too, Bob. I'm sorry. First of all, praise God for smooth travel into the country. We had 6 heavy suitcases. One of them was a container that had a 1,000-watt Honda generator in it. And they all went through the airports and through customs. They didn't even look in our baggage. And that was a praise from the very beginning that all of it arrived there safely and we were able to use it. Praise God that when we got to Burundi, we had a gracious welcome from the friends that we'd already made. They seemed genuinely glad to see us. Praise God for the words of the king, Tunkansane. That's the king in the village. Tunkansane said he knew that God had sent us, that we had passed many villages in order to get to Burundi, but we had stopped in his village. And we knew that God, he knew that God had sent us there to be with them. Praise God that he was kept us safe. Even after eating. That was a cow. The king was excited one day. He said, "They've killed a cow. They've killed a cow." And when they kill it, they actually skin it on the ground and they butcher it and they take the pieces to the market. Put that back up there. Can you put that back up there? Take the pieces to the market, and you go in and you tell them how much you want in kilograms. So we decided, well, we'll try it. So we went in and ordered 2 kilograms of beef. He took his knife and went over there and just sliced it right off the legs. He took it and threw it on the counter. You had to have your own bag to take it home. So we put it in the bag and took it back, and the cook beat on it with a rock. Beat on it and beat on it, put it in boiling water, boiled it for a long time. It was still like shoe leather. I think that cow died of old age. At any rate, he kept us safe after eating a number of things, and you'll see some other things as we go through, and praise God for that. Praise God for a decision to receive Christ in the first home that Vic and I visited. The lady that you see on the screen was one of the wives of the father of the current king. Now, when I say one of the wives, Muslims can have up to 4 wives. So the king's father had several wives, and she was one of them. But she was so happy to hear the gospel presented to her and thrilled to be able to pray and receive Christ and know that she was going to have a place in heaven. When we got ready to leave, she reached in her pocket. She wanted to pay us. She wanted to give us some money because she was just so thrilled. And we saw her a number of times after that, and she was always, always just so, just still stayed happy and thrilled that we had brought the gospel to her. Praise God for the 2 decisions for Christ in the first home that our ladies visited. A grandmother and her granddaughter listened to their presentation of the gospel and without hesitation said, "We want Jesus." Now, y'all have to remember, this is a predominantly Muslim village. This is a Muslim culture. They have a mosque in this small village. And for anybody within the village to receive Christ like they did says to me that the Holy Spirit had already been there working. And the people were ready. Praise God for the 400 that saw the Jesus film in the Creole language. That's the common language of the people. We showed it a second time in Portuguese, which is the language of the educated. There were 200 there. We showed it a third time in Fulacunda, which is the language of one of the tribes that lives in the village. And there were 300 there. For many of them, it was the first time that they'd ever really heard the real story of Jesus. They'd heard about him a little bit. But this is the whole story, and they really received. They were particularly quiet and attentive during the parts of the crucifixion and the resurrection because it was truly meaningful to them. Praise God for the outcast son of the chief. He was somewhat limited intellectually and kind of shunned by his family. But he came and kind of started hanging around, and when we presented the gospel to him, he said, "I want it. I want Jesus too." And he prayed to receive Christ and came back a number of times while we were in the village just to shake our hand. Praise God for his presence even in small things. Our translator for the men, Lopez was his name. Well, Lopez played the guitar, and we were scheduled to sing with the children. And he had new guitar strings because he didn't have any when I got there, and I took him 6 sets. So he'll have some for a while. But new guitar strings you have to tune quite frequently. So he needed to tune them. He couldn't find his tuner. He looked for it everywhere. Vic went in and helped him look for it, and Vic said, "Let's stop and pray." So he stopped and prayed, and immediately came to his mind, go check his coat. He was wearing a coat that morning. It was in the pocket of his coat. So even in the small things, God was there with us. Praise God for cool weather at nights. We didn't know exactly what to expect at night. We knew it would be a little cooler, but we actually had to cover up at night. And that was thrilling because we really could finally sleep at night. Praise God for the seeds that we took with us to Khan Khalifa. Now, this is the King of Kings. Each village, not every village, but if there's a relative of the king in the village, and there are 85 villages around, then that relative of the king becomes number one in the village. This man is the king of all the villages. We had never met him before, but he was in Khan Khalifa and actually has a house there. He was getting ready to retire. He's getting ready to retire. And we asked him what he was going to do. And he said, "Well, I have all these fields over here, and I want to spend my time tending these fields." Well, what did we bring to give away but seeds? That wasn't an accident, that we had seeds to give the King of Kings. And a variety of vegetable seeds. And he was thrilled to get those. Gave us an opportunity also to tell him what Vic and I were doing in our retirement. And he was okay with that, that we were going just to tell people about Jesus. Praise God for the land when we were visiting Khan Khalifa, and we only went on two different days. We went there for the day and went back to Burantum at night. But praise God for the land in Khan Khalifa that the king offered us. We told him we were building a house in Burantum, and he said, "Well, when you get ready to build one here, we'll give you some land here too." Our intent was for that house that we're building to eventually become a church, but that's probably going to change, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Praise God that upon returning from Khan Khalifa back to Burantuma on that second trip, the king in Burantuma, Tun Kansani, that king was reported to have stated while we were gone, he was talking to our cook, and he told the cook this. He said, "People in the village, some of them are critical of me for letting you stay here." He said, "But I told them that you were sent by God, and that if even I, the king, wanted to become a Christian, or any of my family, that we'd do it." So he was supporting us. And just praise God for that. It could have been completely different. Praise God that even as we were preparing to go back in March of this year, and that was our first scheduled trip, and 3 days before that trip, the president of the country was assassinated, so we put it off until April to go. But in March, when we were supposed to go, about that time, there was a young Christian couple from the town, the nearest big town, Gabu. They moved to Burantuma. So there was a Christian couple already there, and they'd been Christians a good while. And when we met them, the man in the couple said, "You know, I really feel like God is calling me to be a worker. And I fully believe that God sent them there to be workers in the new church that's going to be formed in Burantuma." Praise God for the woman that came to our hut to place Jesus in her heart. There she is. She came one night and talked and talked, and we talked to her, and she was ready to have Jesus. And we saw her quite frequently thereafter. Her last name was D-J-A-L-O, and they called it Jallo, We call, and her first name was long, harder than that, so we called her Mama Jello. Here comes Mama Jello. But she was truly, truly blessed, felt blessed to receive Jesus. Praise God for the young man. His name's Mamadou. Mamadou is a very common name there. A lot of people name Mamadou. But Mamadou spent some time hanging around. And when we presented the gospel to him, he too was ready to receive Jesus into his heart. He understood. And from that point on, he was our sidekick. When we needed something, he would help us with it. We had to get water from the well when we needed water to drink, and which we filtered, or water to wash dishes with, or anything. He'd be the one that would go with us and carry the water. It was a fair distance away. He, prior to making his decision, was scared of demons. And Jesus took care of that problem for him. Praise God for the older lady who prayed to receive Christ. She came to us and wanted Jesus in her heart. On the way home, the ladies walked her back home. I asked him to check about the seashell on a string that she had around her ankle. A lot of them wear amulets that supposedly are good spirits that protect them. Well, as soon as they asked her about that amulet, she reached down and ripped it off and gave it to them. She didn't need it anymore, and she knew it, that she didn't need it anymore. Praise God for the young man we witnessed to who had seen the Jesus film, and he was convinced that it was the truth, and he too prayed to receive Christ. While we were sitting there witnessing to him, on the bench walks up this Muslim man. There he is. His name's Aliyu Banjai. He walked up and sat on the bench about a third of the way into the presentation. He sat down and I said, uh-oh. Is he going to stop us? Is he going to say, get out of here? What's he going to say? He let us go all the way through. He went through the prayer with the young man. We started to get up and he said, wait. He said, I want to receive Jesus too. And I wasn't sure that I believed him, that he understood. And so I started going through it again. He said, just wait, I'm ready. I want Jesus. So we prayed with him, and he became a Christian. And a little bit later, he brought back to us, that's his membership card in the mosque. He gave it to me. He said, I'm not going back. From that point on, he walked around the village with a Bible in his hand. Praise God for another young man in that same area where we were working. That's his name is Bombay. And that's the expression he had on his face when we met him. I wasn't sure what to expect from Bombay. But we talked and he said, you know, I want Jesus. I want him today. And he went on and said, I want him today, tomorrow, and forever. We took some follow-up tapes with us, cassette tapes. And some of them have cassette tape players, and we had about five to give away. Well, we gave him a player and some cassette tapes, showed him how to use it, and pressed it so he could hear how it was working fine. And we got ready to leave, and I went to turn it off and hand it to him. He said, don't turn it off. I want to keep listening. Before we left the village to come home, he'd used up the batteries. Of course, I had some more, so I gave him some more batteries to put in the cassette player. Praise God for the family group that said, we must be telling the truth. Otherwise, why would we have come so far to Burituma? They didn't make a decision, and one of their hesitations was the fact that there was not a church there, and they wanted to be able to know that their faith could grow. But when that church is there, I have every idea they'll be coming right through the doors. Praise God for the Tabaski celebration, a big holiday in the Muslim calendar. And in the Muslim calendar, it's supposed to be the celebration of the event of Abraham and Ishmael. That's what they believe, that it was Ishmael that went with Abraham for the sacrifice event. But In this village, they celebrated for Tabaski the event of Abraham and Isaac. And I think it was because some of the leaders in the village had read the Bible, and they really believed in the truth in the Bible. And that's what the Bible says. And so there are so many that I feel like know that the Bible is the truth, and they're just waiting to figure out how they're going to get out of this cultural thing of being a Muslim. Praise God for the cook that we had with us who came to our rescue when we were presented for the celebration. Everybody killed an animal to eat, and they brought us this live chicken. That's the king. The king is in white, and that's the chief over here. That's a tiku so. And they brought us this live chicken. And if we hadn't had that cook with us, she wasn't planning on coming. And we weren't planning on her coming, but last minute she said she was going to come. And so she knew what to do with it. And she took care of it, and that was a skinny chicken, I tell you that. But she also helped us when the king, when they killed a sheep, and the king came over with two legs of sheep and handed those to us to eat. She knew what to do with them, and it tasted pretty good. Praise God for the relationship that Vic and the king have established. That's the king, Tunkansani. Now, he's dressed up. They dressed up for Tabaski. That's his finest right there. He and the king have a wonderful relationship. The king gave Vic his father's name, and Vic said, well, I'm going to give him an American name. So he named him David Victor, which is Vic's oldest son. And so the king said, well, I want you to call me that while you're here. Call me David Victor. So they kind of had this relationship going. And so one afternoon, king came over and they made a deal. Vic said, told the king, if you'll read the Bible all the way through, and we gave him a copy in Portuguese, he said, I'll read the Quran all the way through. So they both agreed to do that. And when we go back in March, they'll sit down and have a discussion. Praise God for an opportunity to minister to a burned out family. King said, first time it's happened. Somebody intentionally set a fire to this house at 4 o'clock one morning. And they set it in the doorway, which says they didn't want the people to get out. We had no idea who, but they saw the man running from the scene. Those thatch roofs, you can imagine what happens to them when they get even a spark on them. And when it burned, it fell inside. The family had gotten out, but it burned everything they had inside too. We were able to give them some clothes to wear out of the clothes that we had and a big bag of rice to eat. And when we asked them what they needed most, they said, we need to put a new roof on this thing. They told us about how much it was cost, about the equivalent of $40. So Vic and I put some money together, and we gave them money to put a new roof back on that building in the name of Jesus. So, and that was way off the road. We hadn't even been back there before. Praise God for the abandoned buildings that we found in each of the two villages. The Portuguese were there in the 70s. They had built a building like this in Buruntuma and another one in Concalifa. It's been abandoned since then. Look inside. Does that look perfect for a church? The kings in both of those villages said, we will intervene for you with the authorities in Pichi to get permission for you to use those buildings for a church. That one's in pretty good shape. The one in Concalifa is going to need a new roof, about $4,000 for a new roof. But if we get permission to use those, they're right in the middle of town. Praise God for the opportunity to minister to a young man who had severely cut his finger on the job site where they were building our house. The ladies ministered to him. We were in a meeting with the town officials, and they had just enough materials and just enough knowledge to stop the bleeding and pull that cut to the bone on the end of his finger back together. And the next day he came back and he prayed to receive Christ. Praise God for the opportunity to deliver 13 bags of rice to the poorest families in the village in the name of Jesus. Praise God for the message of a national pastor who took a cab, a 3-hour ride on one of the last nights we were there, to deliver a powerful message in the school. Praise God for the supplies that we had on hand to take care of the chief's sprained ankle. Praise God for the willingness of the king to take responsibility for the completion of our house. There's the footing for our 700 square foot house. He agreed to see that it got built while we were gone. We gave him $3,000. And he's going to pay all the bills. And when we get there in March, hopefully there'll be a building that will be a place for us to stay and perhaps eventually a place for a pastor to live in. Praise God for the health of our team. No stomach issues despite all those things we ate. Praise God for the spirit of the team throughout. And I applaud especially Shelly Figgett, who had never been on a mission trip before. So her first one was a 17-day trip to a hot African village where she slept in that tent with another. She'd never been tent camping. Slept there for 11 nights and did beautifully, beautifully. We slept in that hut right there, and they slept in the tent. The hut is kind of, oh, can't see, but it's kind of open around the tops, and it wasn't very private, so the ladies, I thought, would do better in the tent. Praise God for the possibility of a mature pastor that is going to live in the village, we hope. Praise God now for the 24 Christians that now live in Boynton. And most of all, I want to praise God for your prayers, because that had to play a tremendously big part in the fact that we were able to praise God in all these other areas. I know your prayers were supporting us. Now, I hope that they will continue to support us as we prepare for our next trip. You know, I think about now, Satan is probably really mad because we've been praising God. I heard something on the trip that just really stuck with me. This person told me, praise is to Satan as sin is to God. Satan hates praise, just like God hates sin. So let's make him even madder. I want us to stand and say together Psalm 100, a great hymn of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. Amen. You may be seated. I hope that you will continue to pray for us as we prepare for the trip, and especially for a Bible college that we hope that someone that is in the country, John Hiskey, he has the land for it. Put up that next slide there. John Hiskey has the land for it. It's been walled in. He has people coming to him almost every... He's a missionary there almost every week saying, we need a pastor for our group of Christians. We need it. Please help us. And he says he's got teachers. He's got land. All he needs is some funding to get a Bible college together, so that he can train pastors within the country. I'm going to close with one of John told me while I was there. He said, John has these conditions he's developed because of the sun in Africa. He says it's like he has paper cuts all up and down his arms. When he sweats, you can imagine what a paper cut feels like with the sweat, salty water in it. And he said, when I go home, he's been there about 10 years. He retired truck driver, went on a mission field from driving a truck. He said, when I go home, people talk about what a sacrifice I'm making to be in the country, particularly a country as primitive as Guinea-Bissau, where there's no electricity in the whole country. But he said, I look at it differently. He said, where's the sacrifice? When the God of the universe comes to you and says, hey, look what I'm doing over here in Guinea-Bissau. Don't you want to work along beside me? Don't you want to help me? He said, that's not a sacrifice. That's an honor. That's a privilege. Let's pray. Father, it is an honor that you've given to us to be able to assist you in Guinea-Bissau, Lord. We've seen your hand. That's what we wanted, the opportunity to see what you could do. We wanted to take a project that we knew we couldn't do it unless you were in it. And Lord, you were. And we've seen it. And we praise you for it, Lord. We continue to pray for the leaders in those villages, Lord. May the truth which we left with them touch their hearts. May they want to know why we were there and want to join us as we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.